right, we're back with another episode of the Baseballers Show. It's December 6th, 2024, almost 2025, guys. How we doing?
Good. What up?
It's crazy that it's December, bro. What's up, Chance?
Fasty. Man,
what do you guys got going on this week? What's going on in the personal life?
Jake, I'll let you start first, man.
No, I've just been grinding away. Lit a rough shot. Had Black Friday, Cyber Monday. The whole weekend was really good. And now I'm just plugging along all week, trying to get these things out and get moving. And other than that, I went on a little bike ride the other day, Monday morning at like 6:30 with my daughter, and we found a rock, and we dug a tiny piece of the rock up, and she decided she wanted to be a paleontologist, and I need to be an archaeologist. And now we take a 6:30 a.m. bike ride, and we've been digging up the same rock all week. I don't even know how big it is, but it takes us like 20 minutes to get like a couple inches dug in. We're like, all right, come back tomorrow.
Yeah, that experience is probably money though.
It's awesome, dude. It's the greatest thing ever. She wakes up every morning so excited to go dig up a rock, and I'm like, yeah.
That's
good.
That's
stuff.
Freaking awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Oh, man. For me, I've been working a lot. My goal lately, to be just completely honest with you, is to get as jacked as I possibly can and to help as many kids as I possibly can in my program. So that's been my two focuses.
Nice. That's a good life.
I love that, man. Dude, I've kind of been doing a hybrid of both of you guys. I've been taking care of the home front with my daughter. She's starting to teethe now, so I'm getting like no sleep. She had a little fever yesterday, so been taking care of her. But we still squeezed in Disneyland right before she got sick, so we got to do Disneyland for the first time. That was a blast. She slept on like half the rides, but she didn't cry once. She got a little scared during Pirates of the Caribbean, but then she was chill. She's awesome, but. I've been doing that, wrapping up fall for my college guys and trying to take care of as many of those guys as possible while also like keeping up with my online clients.
Yeah. Man, this is hilarious. You guys are like taking care of families and stuff, and I'm over here worried about my biceps. Like
those are your babies, bro. You gotta take care of them.
I was doing the same exact thing when I was your age, coaching high school baseball, trying to get those kids good, and then just getting as jacked as I could. It's a good time in your life. Enjoy it.
Bro, I still have PO arms. Been trying to get them jacked. They just don't work. I just throw 90. That's it. That's all I got.
Bro, it's all about function, man.
No doubt.
Dude, speaking of function, what do you guys got on Rob Manfred saying that they're going to kick around the idea of the golden bat rule?
I think it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. It's like fundamentally changing the game of baseball. Would it be cool? Probably really cool. But just the idea of like changing a rule like that is wild to me.
Yeah. That's I hate that it even got thrown out there. I like hate it. I think baseball is in a great spot. I think it's everyone you ask is either going to say baseball's awesome or baseball's dying or whatever. I think it's in a great spot. I think this year's World Series, obviously the actual series might have been a bust for whatever, but Yankees Dodgers, that's what everybody wanted. People were tuned in, whether they liked it or not. I thought it was good. The numbers were good. And this just looks like something you would do if you were the fucking WNBA. Like, what are you trying to change anything for? Like, what are we? And then especially a game like this. To me, you imagine, I think that would be so dumb. We would have no David Freezes. We would have no fucking anybody that happens to come up that's not great that all of a sudden goes on this tear. You wouldn't have that. Imagine K-ing up Ohtani in the ninth and being like, all right, next up, Ohtani. You're like, what the fuck? I hate that they're even throwing it out there. I think it makes baseball look bad that they even brought it up, to be honest with you. And I know it came from like the whole people are like, banana ball. I love banana ball. I think it's fucking incredible. The reason banana ball is so good is they don't try to be anybody else. They don't try to be the MLB. They don't try to do anything. So when some league like that's there for pure entertainment with talented baseball players that are first entertaining and then playing a game as they do it, don't look to them and be like, we should do that with one of the America's pastime. Like, no, you shouldn't. Fuck. What are you doing? That's how I feel about it.
All right. Well, here's another question. If you could implement any type of rule in MLB that was completely off the wall, what would it be?
Ooh.
Oh, man.
I can start for you guys if you want. I think it would be absolutely hilarious if we were going to have a pitcher throw at a batter and then the batter get irritated or ticked off about it. They have to drop their gloves, put on some boxing gloves, and just go to town, and no one's allowed to participate. It's just a haymaker central, and then once they're done, they can shake hands and move on with the game.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome. I got one just popped right in my head. A relief pitcher is not allowed to start warming up until the head coach goes out to pull the current pitcher, and the head coach has to pitch until the reliever is warm and ready to come in the game. So if you're going to go make a pitching change, you got to go fucking, I want to see a manager out there throwing until his guy's fucking warm in the pen.
Dude, my arm's hurting just thinking about that.
I see a 70-year-old guy like, oh, all right, getting warmed up in the bullpen. Like, I got to go make a pitching change. I'll be back.
That's awesome. Mine would be completely selfish and almost as outlandish as this golden at bat rule, and give me 4 strikes.
Hey, you get 4 balls. Why not? Oh, even man. It up.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring this one back again because you kind of said it last time, and I think it got overlooked a little bit, Jake. But I seriously think if they bring back the robot umpires, your face should for sure be on the Jumbotron, and it should just be like a slow zoom in of your face, just either saying ball, strike, or yeah. Cranked. Yeah. I 100% think that needs to be a thing.
Imagine that, dude. The full like 40,000 people sitting there, and it's like, they bring in, like they do in the minor leagues, guy throws a pitch and doesn't like it. Like, nah, challenge that. And then the challenge is like, they take their time, and then it goes up to the big screen. It's just me. And it's like the whole crowd's like, what's he going to say? It's like TikTok in real life. Just ball. Crowd goes nuts. That'd be so sick.
We need to figure out where we have. What's that, Jake? What do you got?
I was saying, you got to charge top dollar for that, bro. That's crazy branding right there.
No doubt.
We need to figure out how to have some type of poll to make that happen, because that would just make baseball. I think that's way better than the golden bat rule.
Yeah, I'm just gonna call the bananas and be like, yo, let me do this for a season, and then the MLB will be calling me to do it in their league too.
Why do I feel like this is the start of an actual thing?
I hope so. That'd be great.
Oh man, dude. So I was reading this article on NIL and all of these guys, the landscape of baseball changing completely to where like MLB isn't even competitive anymore when it comes to the amount of money that they can offer these guys. Have you looked at how much money NILs are actually giving these college coaches leverage with?
No.
What are we talking?
Oh, it is crazy. Like, so like there was a couple different schools, but LSU was kind of saying that there was like multiple like 7 figures worth of budget to come acquire some of these guys through NIL.
Yeah. I know a guy who played at one SEC school, didn't get much playing time, got paid to go to LSU, got paid 6 figures after like not playing at the other school, and all of a sudden like his life is completely different. And he's a freaking Tiger. It's crazy. Like, NIL kind of came around as soon as I like got out of college, which sucks. I just can't believe it. I mean, it's the worst thing ever. But I think that it is like completely changed how recruiting is done. It's more of like, what can you give me, instead of like, let me earn my stripes here.
I agree. I know a kid, great kid, played here, coached against him in high school, went to, I don't want to say his names, but went to a school and then transferred as a fifth year senior because he was a COVID guy and just all that, and went to LSU as a fifth year senior for same thing, low six figures. I'm like, whoa, for what? Like, to go for what? is that money not better? And I love the kid and I was stoked for him. Like, I was pumped for him. That's fucking awesome. But I'm like, trying to tell me like bringing some freshman in and that's going to be there for 3-4 years. Like, it just seems so crazy to me. But the money for these kids, it'll change things, I think, for the worst. I think overall the NIL is going to explode like it is and then have to scale back and go, whoa, this is freaking crazy. Just like baseball might do, like with these contracts, like they might look back and go, okay, did we really pay Soto $700 million for 14 years and now he's 41 and we're bankrupt? Like, what are we, not that they're bankrupt, but it's like, are these guys really worth it? Otani to me is one of the only ones, and Judge, because they will sell tickets, they will sell jerseys, they will sell every, those guys are, Otani made the Dodgers like $128 million by himself this year, which is almost double the $70 million they're going to pay him. It's like, there's no other guy in the league that's going to do that. If there's anyone close, it's probably Judge, because he's like bigger than life and New York and all that. But I think that might happen in a lot of sports. They might dial things back and go, what are we really doing? Like, yeah. But especially for high school, college kids, like you said, Jenks, that haven't really proved themselves at that level. Like Soto, to his credit, if he gets 700 or whatever he gets, he earned it. So did everybody that gets that in the MLB, because they just spent 5-6 years dominating and getting paid. You're talking about a high school kid that dominated against what? Other high school pitchers that throw 78, and you're going to go, here's $500,000 to come play for us, and hopefully you're good. Like, the transfer rate from D1 is like 70-something percent. It might be higher. After your freshman year, something like 70 to 80 kids transfer. So it's like, that's why this money's here, to probably stop some of that. Like, hey, we got to pay you enough money to keep you here. It's just insane.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't and like.
It's crazy. It's a whole new landscape. I'm having to learn so much about it now that I'm an actual coach. Like, we don't have NIL at our school, but or at least we're not tapping into it. But I think it's crazy that these guys are making that much money. And one of the takes in that article, one of the scouting directors, I forget which team it was for, but he was saying like, man, like we're essentially like having to battle against these guys and having to prove our value, because now these new rules where the coaches are being able to offer like full scholarships. Now we can't even offer like signing bonus and school, because that doesn't even weigh in, because they're not just getting a one-time stipend, they're getting payments every year in this NIL, and so we just can't keep up with it. So it's crazy. They're seeing guys left and right, like first rounders actually getting taken out of the draft and committing to their SEC schools, because essentially it's a better business decision to stay in school longer. So yeah, part of it's probably brought on because there's only 20 rounds in the draft now, and now these higher leverage guys are actually seeing the benefits. But yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. I was always confused as to like, why is some random SEC baseball player worth $250,000? Like, there's no way that they're going to garner that amount of attention to even bring in a fraction of that. And what I kind of learned is these are just nothing but massive write-offs for like different companies who donate to the fund.
Yep. That's all it is. I seriously think they should just, every single team should have full scholarships for everyone that makes a team. That to me is payment enough for these kids. Like if you play football at Alabama, you're basically in an NFL program for 4 years while getting a free education and getting the best food and training you can. And then you're not leaving there with $700,000 and having no clue how to actually live in life. When somebody goes, yeah, we'll pay you $24 an hour to do this job, they're like, what the fuck? What are we teaching these guys? I just don't get it. You pay somebody $100,000 to play and he drops out of baseball in school after 1 year. And now he's a 19-year-old kid with $80,000. And what's he going to do with his life? It's just crazy. There's no like growing up for these kids. They spend 3-4 years after high school making their money. And again, I'm happy they're getting it. I don't have any problem with it. I just think it's a system that's not going to work out well in the real world for these guys. Mm-hmm.
It's true. And on the D2 level, we're like, keep dropping out of school, keep coming to us, keep hopping in the portal. We appreciate it. It's a trickle effect for sure. But a lot of these guys, I think you said it before, but a lot of these like no name guys are getting passed over because all these big time guys are just causing this trickle down effect and guys are just getting passed over left and right. It's crazy. Yeah.
What happens when you pass up the draft for $500K to go to school, and then you get drafted in the 13th round later, and they pay you $6,000 a month to go play minor league baseball? You're like, what the hell? I was raking it in college. What is this? Like, that's just a mental disaster, I think.
I think that's already happened in football, right?
I'm sure.
Yeah. I was talking to an agent last year, and he was telling me University of Georgia football players, they get like minimum, they get like $10K a month.
It's crazy.
That's why you see all these dudes driving around in Hellcats, Scat Packs, all these nice cars. These college kids are having like crazy wrecks because they're having these super fast cars, whole lot of testosterone. Like, they're on top of the world. Like, it's not a great situation. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, I'd love to get paid 120K to freaking sit on the bench at South Carolina. That'd have been awesome. I'd do it 100 times over.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. That was my favorite was when it wasn't NIL wasn't around and it was all illegal, and you saw guys like Cam Newton strolling out from an Auburn practice into his $90,000 car. You're like, nice. Oh, wait, what? The cafeteria job you got at the school to pay for school is lucrative, or what is this?
Yeah. So, last thing I'll say, but I've heard some stories about how these guys get the cars in college. Basically, the schools will have some relationship with the dealership, and the player will pay $1 for the vehicle that they want. Literally $1.
It's crazy. They bought it. It's all fair. It's insane.
Yeah. The mindset, bro. Like, it's no wonder why the bankrupt rate of professional athletes is so high. Like, these guys are just living on top of the world, living in the non-reality of understanding like economics and how capitalism works, and they're just showing up in the real world after all their cards have been dealt, and they're just spending it all frivolously, and now they're having to go get a real job and not knowing what to do with themselves.
Yeah,
that's the problem, and you can't blame them. I'm sure I don't know about you, Bobby. You seem probably a little smarter than Jenks and I at the age of 19, but I'd have blown every dime I got on some cool shit I don't need. I'd have been like, yeah, let's go. I would have left broke with a bunch of nice stuff, never drafted, and oh well.
Yeah. Spend it all, have some stuff I want. I've been broke before.
Yeah, dude.
It's back like, normal.
That's most of these kids, I think. So I just think it's maybe I look at myself and how I would be at that age and receiving that money, and that's maybe why I think it's not great. But for the ones that are financially responsible at a young age, good for them. But I just don't see it being great.
Yeah. To your question, Jake, I was born into a family of 9 kids, and I have had to work since I was like 12. So, and I got drafted and got a hot dog and a bike to bike my butt to spring training. So I haven't really ever had the opportunity to, but if I did, I probably would be spending it very frivolously.
Yeah.
Man. I don't know how guys like Luis, I can't even pronounce his name, Severino. Thank you. Luis Severino. How do those guys make that much money and just not have like just a set life the rest of their life? It's crazy. Again,
so I think I know why. It's because that when you're an MLB baseball player and you get paid a certain amount of money, you get paid for what you can do with your body, and you don't know how to create value outside of that. And when you can't create value outside of that, like after you're done playing, you have no more value, right? You don't know how to create value. That's why you see all these athletes, they make way more money after they retire and get into business, because they learn how to create value and actually help people instead of just being good at something that somebody else is just handing them money because you can run really fast or something like that. Like, there's no real value there outside like the entertainment value. So I think that's where they go wrong. And then all of a sudden they want to keep up that same lifestyle, and because they can't create the value, the checks stop coming in and they become upside down on things.
What do you think, Bobby?
Man, I think that just like anything, I think the guys who persevere the most are the guys who figure it out. And to your point, Jenk, I think, where guys go wrong is they try to just like outlive their relevance. And when they don't figure out how to adapt and overcome, that's when they struggle the most. So from like a general standpoint, I think the guys who've had to struggle their whole life are the guys who figure out how to flip the switch and move on to the next thing and turn the page. And those are the guys who are the most successful. So I guess if anyone's watching and looking for advice from someone who hasn't figured it out yet, I think the most successful people that I've ever witnessed are the guys who are like the kings of adaptability. So that's my two cents is I've seen a lot of guys be successful or more successful after baseball just because they're able to do that. Mm. Yeah.
Makes sense. I think part of it too, obviously having a good financial advisor on your side seems like if you have that, then you don't even have to worry about it. Like if you give them $64 million and go, I don't want to work the rest of my life. I want to play baseball. When I'm done, I want to be fine. They should be able to handle that. But I think the big thing for a lot of guys is like the lifestyle almost always goes up with the money as it would for anybody, no matter what. And then the money stops coming, but the bills don't. And it's like, okay, well, now I got this $70,000 a month lifestyle and I'm not making money. This is not good. I might have made 40 mil, but $70,000 a month, it's a lot of money at the end of the year and it runs quick. So I think that's a piece of it. This is funny because this is, I just sent this to Carlson the other day and it made me think about it. Jenks, when you just said, they don't have a like talent outside of what they're doing. They don't know. And this is related to, I guess, NIL too, but this made me laugh. You guys seen that meme? It's like a football player and he's like holding the ball and it's colleges say, we really need you to pay 24,000 tuition. That's the lowest we can go. And then the guy's like, what if I could throw this football far as fuck? And they're like, LMAO, that's lit. Here's 100% off. Like, yeah. It's like, that's what it just reminded me of that when you said, you know, they have this talent and then afterwards they don't know what to do. And I used to say the same thing. What are you supposed to do when you're like the quarterback, you're Tom Brady, and every Sunday, Monday night, you're like, everybody's tuning in to watch you and you're playing in front of 40,000, you're playing in front of 5 million across the country. And like now Sunday morning, you're supposed to wake up and sit on your couch and watch some games. Like they're like, what am I doing with my life? I do understand that side of what you're saying, Jenks. I think that's definitely a piece of it. And Bobby, you're not wrong either, but
yeah.
Till we're in the position, I guess we don't really know.
Yeah. Well, with like how crazy the SEC is, I mean, just really any D1 program is investing in NIL and how all these other franchises like the Yankees and the Dodgers are just putting so much money into their ball players. Do you think teams like the A's, who are essentially like poverty teams, do you think they're going to be mandated to start like having to pay these guys more and investing more into their rosters?
I don't know. When you say mandated, you mean like by Manfred and the MLB?
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to have to do that. I think they're just going to, the Yankees have always paid guys. They have money. The Dodgers have, but I think the Dodgers legitimately changed the game in the last year with Ohtani. There's been deferred payments forever, and everyone thought it was hilarious that what's his name?
Bobby Bonilla.
Bonilla gets $1 million a year for the next, he's still getting $1 million. You're like, it's Bobby Bonilla day. Like that's been happening for a very long time, but obviously when you defer $68 million a year for 10 straight years, then you learn some things. But look at what they're building, dude. Look what they're building. You trying to tell me that there's not these poverty teams can't, if they just wanted Soto, could they find a way? These are all multi-billionaire owners. They're groups of people. The money is there. They just don't want to spend it. Like every team in the league, I sincerely believe, could afford to pay Juan Soto at a price for sure. Like we might have to dump this guy off or that guy, but everyone can do it. You're telling me that not every team in the league could have afforded Blake Snell for what? 150? 150 million? Not every team in the league could afford that for what? 3 years? Every team can, but I think it goes the same thing too with Jenks. I know you know a lot of minor leaguers. Everyone I've talked to has said, and I'm not just coming on here as a Dodger guy, but like Blake Snell went to a team that he probably thought, these are like the homies. This looks like fun. I want to be in LA. I want to be in California. It's appealing and they take care. I've heard they take care of their low A guys the same way they do their big leaguers. Like their whole organization throughout is unbelievable. So I think the Dodgers have built something where they figured it out financially, and everyone's catching up and going to. They changed the game financially. But it's a place that you would want to be. It seems like a place you would want to be. And I think that's where there's so much money now that for a guy like Snell, well, I don't think it was ever about the money. He knew he was going to get enough. He knew he was going to get plenty. And that's a great deal for him. 3 years or whatever he signed for 150. And he's going to a place where I feel like he's just going to be like him and Glasnow together. They seem like the same guy. Like they're just gonna be buddies playing baseball. So I think that matters. But to your question, Bobby, I don't think the MLB is going to have to mandate it, because I think every other team is going to go, in order to even compete, we're going to have to figure out the blueprint of the Dodgers and the way they're doing things, and deferred payments with other teams that do it too, and just start doing it. I mean, it is what it is. And for the players, it's retirement, dude. You're making half your money for the next 5 years. When you retire, you're 6-7 years and no work, and you're making $8 million a year. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
I think that the competing part is the most important, because I feel like the A's owner is content without being a competitive team, because he views it more as a business than anything. As long as he's making X amount of dollars, he doesn't really care what's going on. So do you think that Manfred would have to almost put in some stipulations to be like, you actually have to try to win? I don't know. I don't know how you do that, but force the competitive nature. Because I mean, you can't force a dude to sell, can you?
No, I don't think so. If he's a businessman and the A's can't be very profitable, you would think, hey, if I spend this money, it will come back to me tenfold. If he's a businessman, winning cures all. You're going to make money. You're going to draw guys in. You're going to get ticket sales. I think the A's are going to surprise a lot of people when they move to Vegas. I think the next 2-3 years, they're going to do this. They're going to collect a guy or two like Severino, and then they're going to pick up one or two big dudes when they go to Vegas. And you're going to be like, holy shit, like they have a team. They just went to a minor league stadium for 2-3 years to they're in Vegas with a team, and they're going to be a force. I really think that's what they're going to do, because I think their guy over there getting shit on for the last X amount of years of what a bad owner. I feel like he's got to have some competitiveness. Like, wait till I get to Vegas. Watch this. Yeah. I feel like he's behind the scenes working. So if it happens, we'll come back to this episode and go, I was right for once.
For once, you're pretty spot on a lot, dude.
Yeah, I'd say you're spot on a few times. I've seen you predict a ton of things that have come true, man.
Predicting if you'll hit here and there.
Dude, so there's a question in our show notes talking about the consensus in the baseballer comment section asking if the regular season and NBA games are far more boring than regular season MLB games. What are your guys' take on that?
Yeah, I think so. I think the NBA struggles. That's why they added that tournament in the middle of the season to try to make it exciting. They changed the color of all the floors. I just don't think the NBA – it's like, to me, growing up watching Jordan and all those guys and Kobe and watching what it is now, I think the talent, just like baseball, is as good as it's ever been. But I think baseball is as good and exciting as it's ever been. I think the steroid era was the greatest thing ever. But – What that lost, I think today's baseball guys make up for in just talent and electricity and celebrations and personality. I think that's all I think that to me evens out the bar of how good it was in the steroid era, because you got to watch roided out dudes throwing 102 and then some roided out guy turning 102, 520 feet. You're like, damn, that's awesome. For me as a fan of baseball, I like where it's at right now, but I played it and I have probably an MLB speed tool in my prime. I could probably run as fast as I needed to be a good runner in the MLB, and probably had a good arm from the outfield, and that's about it. So I liked seeing guys do what I can't do. Like when I'm watching the game, I like seeing a guy throw 100 because I can't fucking throw 100. I like seeing a guy turn on a 92 mile an hour slider nowadays and go, God dang, that's crazy. Like, I want to see guys do what I can't do. So baseball to me is in a good spot, but the NBA to me, I just can't stand it. I don't think there's any real rivalries left. I don't think there's any, I hate watching this guy. I like watching that guy. We talked about it a little while ago with Embiid's played like less than half the season and he's got somewhat sore knees, but really just load management, dude. How much money is he making to sit out? If I was an owner, I'd be like, you're just not getting paid, dude. Like, I'm sorry. Load management. I know we want to win a championship and you got to be healthy. And I think LeBron really kind of started a lot of that. But man, you look at Michael Jordan, he said, I play every night regardless, because what if there's a fan there that has never seen me play and will never see me play? And it's like, yeah, dude, like what are we doing? I don't know. Jenks, I know you're a huge Barry Bonds guy. So am I. I went to one game up in San Francisco and he took the day off for no reason. They showed him during batting practice in the locker room, sitting on a like recliner. And I'm like, God dang it, dude. But that I was bummed. I was super bummed. I'm like, I'm not going to get to see that guy. So for me, and the NBA plays every 2 to 3 nights. Like, come on, man. And I know you're 7 feet tall. I'm sure it's tough on your body, but I think that's why it's dying. The average common man is working 60 friggin' hours a week at some job he hates, doesn't want to come home and see a guy making 40 mil a year going, not tonight, guys. Load management. You're like, oh, okay. So I think there's a very big disconnect in the regular people that watch basketball and the basketball players.
Yeah. I think that it is, for the fan, it is the most selfish thing ever. Because like you, to your point, Jake, and what Michael Jordan said, like, if that fan comes one time, you could either create a fan for life or the opposite could happen. And like, I remember I went to just a random Yankees game one time, but guess what? I got to see Aaron Judge play. It was a random regular season game, but he's in there playing. I'm like, holy crap. Just to see him walk on the field, I was like, oh my God, this is not real. Right. And if I were to show up and he just decided to take the day off, I'd be like, fuck this guy. Like, you kidding me? Like, I took time off of work. I changed my plans around. I did all these things just to come and try and see you just taking it back, just take a pitch and you're not even there because you don't feel like it. Like, I would hate that. And then kind of speaking on the NBA, I have no clue what the state of the NBA right now is. All I know is that Bronny James has something to do with the NBA now. And for an outsider, if that is like the issue that's above everything else outside of just like the play of the league and the excitement of the game, that's a problem.
Great point.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Cenk. I know nothing about basketball. I try to spend some time with my family every now and then. So literally once baseball season's over, it's like I'm going to go invest with my family a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I'm probably one of those NARPs that Jake was talking about, just non-athletic, normal person that can't even like stand the thought of not being able to do something. Last time I tried to play basketball, I rolled my ankle. So I'm terrible at it. But I think you guys are both right. I think the rivalry between baseball and basketball isn't even a thing. Like there are so many more people out there that just absolutely love baseball for what it is. And the basketball fans of the world, they're just like, ah, this is getting boring.
I think it's just too friendly, to be perfectly honest with you. Like people want to, this generation, this world with social media, especially, they want to either hate something or love it. That's what they want. That's why look at the Yankees. If you're a Yankee fan, you love them to the grave. If you are everybody else, you just fucking hate the Yankees. You hate everything for no real reason, maybe, but you hate them. And it's like, that's what creates eyeballs. That's what creates fans. That's what creates excitement. Look at the WNBA. Absolute garbage ratings forever. They throw an incredibly talented black girl in there. They throw an incredibly talented white girl in there. And everybody hates one of them. And all of a sudden, everybody tunes in. And the WNBA has the greatest friggin' statistical viewership season of their life. Because everyone tuned in halfway, whether they want to admit it or not, to watch Caitlin Clark dominate, or watch Angel Reese dominate, or watch Caitlin Clark get 18 turnovers today and 4 points and go, she sucks, overrated. Or watch Angel Reese get 20 rebounds and go, nope, that's because she missed 18 shots and got her own rebound. You're like, okay, everybody wants to do something, but there was eyeballs on it. I don't think I turned on a single WNBA game, but I stopped on almost every post on social media to see, oh, who, what happened last night? What is it? So I don't think basketball has that right now. I think baseball does, even from the small points we were just talking about. Like, watch whoever pays Soto $700 million, that team's going to be hated. trying to buy a championship. It's like, well, yeah, that's the point. The Dodgers win, and everyone's like, bought team, you bought them. It's like, okay, would you rather us just only use the guys we draft and try to develop, and that's how we're going to try to win a World Series? Like, what do you mean? So I just don't think there's enough love-hate going on in the NBA.
Yeah.
That's what
I remember when I was in high school, or maybe a little bit younger, there was this Joey Bats compilation that I absolutely loved, Jose Bautista, where guys would throw at him, throw behind his head. He's sitting right there staring him down with the FU eyes, and then hits a bomb, bat flips, walks, takes his time, and it's the most badass thing ever. And it, like, it fires you up. And I love stuff like that. And I feel like I don't really see that in other sports, maybe football a little bit, or a lot of it probably, but same type of deal. Like I love that kind of drama. It draws people in, you know.
The NBA needs more Russell Westbrooks. Russell Westbrook's an animal, and he is ready to fight and talk to anybody at any point. Some guy was like, the greatest three celebration of all time, because everybody's got their threes, something. They're like, is Russ. And it was a compilation of him hitting a three-pointer and then just starting yelling at either the fans, the other team. Like, it was like 20 three-pointers he hits, and he literally just, like, immediately looks and stands. He's like, fuck you guys. Like, I'm like, yeah, dude, like, this guy's awesome. Where he's yelling at somebody on the bench, and the guy on the bench is like, what the hell is he yelling at me for? Like, I love the way Russell, he's my favorite probably basketball player of all time, because he just played with, and I think he's probably one of the most athletic guys to ever touch a basketball floor. He was insane.
But he plays so hard, dude.
That's the thing. He plays hard. He plays to win. He's never really been on a winning team. The guy goes out every night with probably that same mentality of, hey, if somebody doesn't see me play tonight, you know, then that's, I want them to be able to see this. And then the other side of him probably could care less whether they see him or not. I think he's just a very Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type thing. But anyways, that's what I think the NBA needs.
Dude, I think the guy we got coming on next, we got Coach Rack coming up next. I think he 100% is going to resonate with you on fans first mentality and getting every single fan possible what they want. And that's to see Coach Rack hit a bomb. You guys ready to talk to that guy?
Yeah, I guess if we have to.
All right. We are on the show with Coach Rack, the infamous Coach Rack. What's up, brother?
What's up, man? Good to see you guys.
Likewise, man. It's been a minute.
Indeed, man. Indeed. I'm excited to chat, man. We're going to, how much time do we got on this? We got an hour.
we can go an hour. We can go 5 minutes, whatever you want.
We're just going to have to cap us, because we'll just keep talking. I know us.
That's true, man. Well, we're going to do things a little non-traditional. We're going to be asking you hopefully some questions that aren't related to baseball, and try and switch it up for you. I actually am going to start us off. If you had to choose between what's your go-to Super Smash Bros. Character and why?
Zero Suit Samus, because she's quick. And I particularly, so yeah, it's a very, you wouldn't expect it. I used to play as Kirby, as does every beginner. And then I thought to myself, what would be the biggest flex if I showed up, you know, to the party, they're playing Nintendo Switch, and what would be the biggest flex of a character to be good at? And I felt like it was Zero Suit Samus. So this year, actually, on road trips with the Bananas, I would bring my Switch with me. And if Gigi wasn't there with me, I would just play the Switch by myself, just against Ganondorf level 9 at Zero Suit Samus. And I got pretty good. So Zero Suit Samus is my main.
Dude, thank God you landed Gigi, because anybody that thinks the biggest flex is showing up to a party with a Mario Kart character already on Dude, that guy's in trouble later in life.
It's not Mario Kart, Jake. You're showing your age.
Whatever it is. You listeners know, we didn't prep Rack on any of these questions. And the fact that he answered that in 0 point before Bobby was done asking it, dang, that was something else. I like
that. I've been waiting for someone to ask me that.
All right, that's the flex. Let's wrap the show up.
Good.
Jake, what do you got for Rack? Oh, Jake, go ahead.
Rack, can you cook?
Oh, yeah.
What? Okay, let's say Coach Rack has one meal that you can ever make for the rest of your life. What would it be?
It would be my fried rice. I would say, yeah, it'd be my fried rice. But it's tough. The nice thing is with the fried rice, I usually top it with some sort of meat. So either chicken or steak. I think that would be the meal I have for the rest of my life because it's very versatile. But yeah, it involves cooking with a lot of bacon. And it's very good. I made it for my roommates all the time in college. So sometime I'll have
you guys. Oh, you're a homie like that. Okay.
Yeah. I
like
that. Yeah. I would make fried rice and then beer bread, which if you've never had that before, it's very good.
Never had it before. Didn't even know that was a thing. Wow.
It's a thing. It's really good. I got the recipe from Gigi's mom, but yeah, okay. I definitely cook and enjoy it very much.
Nice.
Let's do a banana party animal trade. You got to trade one teammate. Who you trading and who you getting?
I am getting Tanner Thomas on my team, and I am trading away Dalton because I want to see him as a party animal and because no one would expect me to trade Dalton away from my team. So I think that would be funny.
That would be funny.
Much of Dalton there.
Yeah. I was like, dang, who do I take trade away? I was thinking who could handle it. I was either going to be him or Bill Leroy that I'd get rid of only because I love them.
Dalton would have to be the nicest party animal of all time.
He would. Yeah. I would love to see him try to be a party animal.
Just the biggest party animal there ever was.
Yeah.
It's like him and Dalton Pons would be wild.
That's like the main word I use to describe Dalton. I'm like, I don't know. He's just the sweetest guy. It sounds funny. I don't know another way to describe him. He's just very nice and sweet.
That is Dalton. Yeah. Sweet is the word that comes to mind. Yeah.
I would love to see his reaction to you trading him.
I would too. Yeah.
All
right,
man. It's all good. I understand. Appreciate that, dog.
that would come after he like laughed and slapped Rack on the shoulder. Like, that's a funny joke.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Looking around for the reaction camera.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
awesome. That's all great. Right. Awesome. Next question. Is peeing while sitting down acceptable male behavior?
I sure hope so, because I do all the time. It just doesn't get everywhere. It's like, I can't trust my aim, you know, like maybe sometimes I can, but like, I know for sure I'm not missing if I'm sitting, you know what I mean?
Wow.
Dude. And I won't get into too much more detail. That also does have its own issues sitting, but yeah, I think it's perfectly acceptable.
Wow.
All right. College burnout is going to roast you for that one, bro.
That's fine. He can do that. He's totally at liberty to do that.
Yeah. He pretty much does what he wants.
He does. Certainly does. No. Yeah. No filter.
Yeah.
That is the least filtered baseball guy on the internet. And that is there's some competition for that. And in all honesty, it's not even close. There's a lot of unfiltered baseball content out there, and that guy takes the crown by miles.
I don't even think it's just baseball. I think just the most unfiltered content, period. Like, I don't know that there's anyone.
You're right.
Yeah, yeah. I got to hang out with him, like, I think it was maybe a year and a half ago. Like, he came out to California, and we hung out and filmed, and super cool guy. I loved hanging out with him. It was a blast. I was like, yeah, like, he was like, hey, man, like, I know, like, probably can't like really collab that much because, you know, but, and I was like, yeah, you know, I think you're right, but we can absolutely hang out. I think we got Panera. It was a good time.
He is a good dude. I was there when you came down to that Cutter Nation, we all took some hacks and then you bounced early, but he's a great dude. He's literally exactly what he's like on camera, except he's having a conversation with you and it's not as crazy, but same guy. That's why I think I love his content so much, because he's not, he's really is not acting.
And also, like, I feel like there's plenty of people who say the stuff that he says just behind closed doors. And so he's just like, tons of people are like, oh, I can't believe this guy said that. I'm like, ah, well, if you're in a locker room, you hear that stuff all the time. He's the only one actually just saying it out loud. So
yeah, he's reported it.
He's digital footprint. Yeah.
So I always laugh when he does certain things, like his whole girl baseball player bit and just the stuff he says. I'm like, all right, I have Bobby, like I have a 8-year-old daughter. Bobby, you got the little girl. I'm like, man, if my daughter watched all my stuff that I've put out, I wouldn't be like, oh no, don't watch that. Like, I'm like, I might say some bad words, but whatever. I might make fun of some people, but if my content was his, I'd be like, nah, don't watch any of this. Don't like, watch I can't it. Don't watch it. He's going to see it all. When he
delete Instagram.
Like, that's what always makes me laugh. I can't get that thought out of my head when I watch his content. It's like, dude, your little girl's going to see this one day. He is a funny one. What do you got? What are you doing? You coming back? You got another banana year under the belt coming?
Yeah, man. What day does this go live?
I don't know.
This episode.
Probably today or tomorrow.
Today or tomorrow. Okay, let me check the calendar real quick.
Also, sure. FYI, if anything that you say you don't want on here, just let us know. It's not live.
Okay, sweet.
So we can take out anything.
I feel like there's some great stuff to talk about for next year, but I can't technically talk about it till Tuesday. So I guess Tuesday I'll have to talk about it, but I have lots of big plans for next year for sure.
Hey, Rick. Sorry. We can hold the episode till Tuesday if that.
Yeah. Okay. I think that'd be helpful, because then we could just talk about it. I think they're announcing the returners on Tuesday. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll shoot you a text before it goes, just to confirm.
Perfect. Okay, cool. Yeah.
Hey, Donovan, I would just chop this into two. We talked for what, 45 minutes, the three of us?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. We'll drop the first, your guys' part in the beginning, and then we'll drop the Rack interview on Tuesday when he's good with it.
Cool. So are we going to go back and answer that now? Or
yeah, re-ask the question.
What was the question? I forgot already. I don't plan shit.
I think you just asked what I have going on and I got next year.
Here you go, Rack. Here you go. Rack, yeah. talk to me about bananas 25. You coming back? You got plans? What do we got going on? Fill us in. You're the source. You're the plug here.
Yeah. So yes, you guys are the first to know I am coming back to the bananas for one more year. Got some big plans. I'm going to lean all in to YouTube long form. And right now I'm in the process. Actually, this morning was just reviewing some an edit from an editing agency. I'm working with this new, potentially working with this new editing agency that's going to handle all my long form, because that was the biggest bottleneck for me last year, is I did everything myself. And so this next year, I'm going to try and film a vlog at every single Major League Stadium. Which is going to be, it was going to be 18. Now it's going to be 17 because Tropicana had the roof blown off. we're doing 17 Major League Stadiums and 3 or 4 football stadiums. And I'm going to try to make a long form video for each one. And in multiple of those locations, we'll try and make 2 videos, because we will likely have field access the day before, where I can just film whatever at the stadium. So the plan is right now I'm in the process of assembling a team for travel logistics, for processing all the footage. And my goal is to just pedal to the metal for long form next year.
Congrats, nice. Brother. That is so cool.
Thanks, man.
Dude, that's going to be such a huge step for you. Like getting the editing off your shoulders is massive.
Yeah, that's going to be the biggest thing. Cause this past year I was spending 30 plus hours on each edit, and I just don't have that kind of time. So it'll be different for sure. We're going to try and build off of each idea. That's one thing I'm super excited about. You guys know Cole Acheronti, used to work for Momentum. So Cole and I have been working together the past like 2 months now, and he did the ideation. He wrote out the script. He filmed it. He edited it. The vlog that I did in Miami, that's performing really well. He had the idea. What if we got like one kid from outside the stadium and brought him in and gave him like the ultimate experience, have him hit batting practice with you, be there in the dugout for the game. I was like, yeah, that's a sick idea. Let's do it. So made it happen in Miami. He went outside the stadium, found a kid, brought him in. It was his idea for the whole video. He brought it to life, edited it. And that was kind of like a test run, I guess. And he crushed it. So I'm really excited. The plan is he's going to do a lot of the ideation along with me to try to build off of each video next year. And we're going to pick a kid in every single stadium that we go to bring in and have the ultimate experience. And we'll give them all kinds of cool gear and stuff like that. And then so we'll have one kid representing for each major league stadium. And then at the end of the year, there will be one big video where I will fly all of these kids back out to one location. So if you got picked for, say, the Angel Stadium game, you were the Angel Stadium kid, you will fly out and, I don't know, wear an Angels jersey or whatever. And you'll be the Angel Stadium representative for this video at the end of the year. That'll be almost like game show-esque, where all these kids will compete for some sort of prize. I don't have the exact details of what that will look like, but there will be basically one big long series throughout the season that I'm shooting for. And so I'll be doing those at every major league stadium. It's going to take a lot of work and a lot of money, but it's going to be fun. I'm really, really excited about it.
That's awesome.
So when are you going to pick up your first acting gig, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. Gigi and I have talked about this a few times because I don't particularly want to be an actor, but Gigi was like, you know, you can't be an actor because if you ever had a role where you loved another girl, like that just couldn't be the case, you know, which I totally understand. So if I had an acting gig, I'd probably either have to be, I was going to say something, but I shouldn't. Interested in women. Or just like a, you know, strictly platonic role, I would say, if I could ever did get into acting.
Strictly not into women's a nice way of saying maybe a guy like where my flex is a video game character. You know what I mean?
Right. Like Zero Suit Samus. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't even have to act. That's just me.
You could have a good role. Because you could actually probably like really act. Like, I feel like you could, and so can Ballgame. He's a professional, but if you watch that movie that he put out, it was Ballgame. There was zero acting going on. I felt like I was at a NYABC camp with him. I'm like, if you guys haven't watched it, really watch it just for the entertainment value. It's a great movie, but the entertainment value of seeing him and knowing him and being at camps with him and then watching the movie, you're like, dude, this whole thing was his idea. Like, I feel like he got that. Like, all right, here's what we're going to do. And I'm sure he is probably very versatile in acting, but I wasn't surprised to just see him being him because it's such a good character anyways. And then when you get to know him, you're like, this might not be a character. This is just you. So
this is just him. Yeah, he's been in character for who knows how long.
Yes, it became.
But since day one.
Let's do this. If you're acting, what would be like a dream? What would you like a dream role? Like, who would you want to be in the movie?
Yeah. Well, I feel like I've gotten Matthew McConaughey before. So I would like some sort of Matthew McConaughey role. I think, you know, my favorite genre of movie is probably romantic comedy. So again, this would go against Gigi's wishes. Maybe Gigi could star in the movie with me. But I think if I were to be like the main character in a romantic comedy, I would enjoy that one the most, I'd say.
I could see that. That's such so
like a Hallmark.
Like I'm the farm guy from, you know, some nowhere place that was homeschooled and have a family business that, you know, and then Gigi could be like the big town executive that comes in and, you know,
it steals you away from your boyfriend.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
That's awesome. I can see that. You could do probably whatever you want. And I've seen seen enough of Gigi to know she probably would be good in whatever role she has too. You guys are a very cool couple. I know we've been lucky enough. I love seeing your success, dude, because all three of us sitting here ran NYABCs with you and slept on the floor, I slept on a yoga mat one time, like watch. And that was like open arms, and to know you for 2.5 years, whatever it's been now, and watch the whole journey. Super cool, super unsurprising after meeting you the first time, like you're doing what you're supposed to do. And when I think about really, probably all of us a little bit, but I watched this thing, and this is the first time I ever heard this. Maybe this is not news to people, but you, Rack, I think are probably a very good example of this. But I thought about it like with my clothing company and, you know, whatever. But there's this idea that the universe gives people ideas and they give it to multiple people at the same time, so that the universe needs it to work out. So one of these people is going to make it work. So you're not the only one with the idea, but it almost feels like a competition of like, okay, which one of you is going to win the race? You all got the same idea, which I think is pretty amazing. It could be, you know, the idea of this. And I thought, you know, for me, like with Roughshot, these are the good old days. The idea of that is like, I'm not the only one that's ever thought that. It's been said in The Office or like the show, like it's all over the place. But I think I'm the only one with the clothing company that had it. And I'm probably not the only one that had the idea to do it. And it's like, am I winning that race? I don't know. But after I heard that, I'm like, better believe I'm going to win it now. Like I will be the only guy. So that idea, when I look at that and I look at you and like several social media people all have this idea to be you or what, you know, who you are now, but you may have all gotten it 3 years ago when you and Ange thought this up and all that. And it's like, I like to look at it now for the last 12 hours, ever since I saw that YouTube video yesterday, like you're winning the race of that idea. And I think it's pretty awesome. So I just say that to say, from sleeping 15 guys packed into your house to knowing you're doing what you're doing now and moving along, it's pretty freaking cool, dude.
Thanks, man. Thanks. It's been quite the ride. And part of the, some of the most fun I've had on this ride has been with you guys. So I think we've got lots of, I think the best times are still to come. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to get your opinion on this. I want to switch gears a little bit. Sorry, guys. I just really want to know, because you're Captain Banana Ball. What do you think about the golden bat rule coming to the MLB?
Yeah, well, okay. I could give my full honest opinion here. I think that, one, I think the MLB should, I like a lot of adjustments they're making. I don't like that one particularly. And I feel like it's not baseball, and it would, you still have the opportunity to pinch hit a guy at any given time. You know, you see like a Kirk Gibson scenario where your guy is injured, but we could bring him in for one at bat right at the end, you know, and like, you didn't have him all game, but you got him for that last at bat. Like, I like that. I like that you could pinch hit a guy at any given time. So in a way you can do that. What will end up happening is Shohei Ohtani will go up to the plate and fly out, and then next batter, they're a golden batter, and Ohtani steps right back up to the plate, you know, and then rolls over to second, and everyone's like, ah, oh, dang. That's what's going to happen. And I'll say this too. I golden battered this year just one time for the Bananas. You would think, like in my head growing up, I always thought, surely if I got another at bat right after seeing a guy, I would do better the second time, right? Nah. Doesn't happen. I went up the first time, struck out, but I was having a really good weekend. So they golden battered me, had me go up again, and I rolled over to second. Dang it. I'm like, I'm pretty sure they could have brought me up there 8 times in a row and I would have just kept getting out. One, I think if they, I don't think they should implement it. Two, I think if they did implement it, it wouldn't do what people think it would do. Very rarely would you see someone actually do something good when they golden batter you. Also because, you know, they put you into that situation, there's a bunch of pressure. Everyone's looking at you. It's like, there's like everything comes down to this. I think in the entire year of the Bananas, you know, with 86 games, we had one golden batter home run. I want to say the golden batter batting average on the year was probably like in the 100s, maybe 200s. And that's with the best guys with the best matchups. It's just, I don't think that it's going to, it's cool in concept, but I don't think that it would actually make the game any more interesting. I think it would just piss off the old heads.
Yeah, it would. I don't think people understand how hard it is to be a pinch hitter late in the game, or like you're just sitting there cold. You might go downstairs in the big leagues. You might go downstairs and take some packs in the second and the fourth and the sixth and whatever. But dude, I had one kid. That was my biggest thing I wanted to do. Not my biggest, but one of the checklists as a high school coach was like, I want to pinch hit somebody in the last inning and have them hit a freaking bomb. And just what a cool experience for the kid. For as a coach, you're like, I made the right call. That's pretty awesome. And I did it one time, did a few times. I had one kid told him, I said, hey, if so-and-so gets on, you're going to hit. If he doesn't get on, you're blah, 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 blah. We were down by one in the top of the seventh on the road. And right when I told him, I saw him like go to the bullpen and like, ooh, start taking dry hacks and just stressed. I'm like, oh shit, he's stressed. I'm like, this is not good. I'm like, what do I say to him? And I knew him. I knew him personally, like enough to know like what I could and couldn't say to try to help him. Thinking about it, and the situation came up where he was gonna hit, and I'm like, hey Langer, let's go. He comes walking through the dugout, and I'm like, he goes walking like right past me, like put my hand up, like put on his chest. He like looks at me, I'm like, hey, hit a fucking tank. He's like, all right, first pitch, dude, 3-run bomb. We went up by 2. I was like, no. The whole dugout went nuts, but it was just the coolest thing. So I think really baseball already has a golden batter rule pretty much, minus the guys in the lineup. You know, there's guys that are on the bench for that. There's guys that make a killing going, yeah, I hit 470 as a pinch hitter. I don't know why. I'm 12 for friggin' whatever, 28. Like, it's just guys live in that situation. We talked about this a little earlier, and you said the same thing I said. Like, you're in the bottom of the ninth, you friggin' K up Otani, and they're like, now batting Otani. And you're like, what the fuck? What are we doing, dude? Like, does Freddie Freeman ever hit? If does he ever hit the grand slam if there's a golden batter? Who knows?
Right. And that also, like, think about the guys who just their legacy is that they were that guy in that moment. David Freese, you know, like, they would have probably pinch hit. I don't know. Was Albert Pujols on the team at that time? They probably would have pinch hit Pujols if they hadn't hit, you know, and maybe he doesn't do what David Freese did. I definitely think that in banana ball, it works. In major leagues, I think they should steer clear personally.
We're going to send you the timestamp of today's episode when I talked about this, and you're going to laugh. Zigzag. Yeah. We brought up the same response, the same players, the same everything. You're going to laugh. Yeah.
So I've been sitting around. I've listened to it before with you hitters going over how exciting it would be for you guys on the hitting side. I would be on the pitching side saying if we did have a golden batter rule, we'd also have to have the opposition to that, where it's my ability as a pitcher to call you back onto the stand to have to face you again. And for sure, if anyone pimped a home run and walked off the field, the next thing I would be doing was calling you back out there and freaking throwing 94 up and in. Just instant settle it.
Imagine the other way around. Bottom of the ninth, 2 outs, bases yak, down by 1 run, and Rack gets up there and you K him up and you're like, put him back in the box. You K him up again. Like, is that the worst day of your life?
That's the only way that baseball could get worse, man.
Nothing but changeups, bro. That's all I would throw you in that second bat.
And I wouldn't swing at a single one.
Yeah, that would – baseball is mentally taxing enough. Imagine, like, you'd be sitting there with 2 strikes, like, oh, shit, if I strike out, he's going to just do it. He's going to call me right back up here. Like, now your first at-bat's ruined thinking about your next at-bat.
Dude, that's how I felt when I was golden batter that one time. They put me in. I just struck out. And they're like, get back up there. No, at least normally I have like a 9-batter buffer to get my like sadness out, but no, get back in there, pal. And then I'm thinking, okay, what if I strike out again? I K'd twice in the same inning back to back. That's horrible.
Two straight K's on 7 pitches.
Oh, it's horrible.
That's so demoralizing.
I'm so glad I rolled over.
So basically, Rack, if you had to say you could only relive one day the rest of your life, that wouldn't be the day?
No, I'd pass on that unless I was really trying to build character, in which case that would be the move.
What would be your best day?
Oh, go ahead. There's Bobby and Jake for you. He's like, what's your best day of your life? I'm like, what's the worst day of your life? give us the good one first, and then give us the most embarrassing, like banana ball day or situation you've had.
Oh gosh. Okay. Yeah. I got you. Well, obviously the best day was, you know, Nats Park. That's just kind of, that was just perfect. Even that though, I wouldn't want to relive it. It was stressful. It's like, there's so much pressure put on the moment. It's like, you know, they show the video on the video board, everyone's standing and watching, standing ovation. You walk up to the plate. I've got tears in my eyes. I'm like trying to see the pitcher, and he's like throwing behind the back and all that. And then, you know, I work like that at bat was like an 8-pitch at bat. And then I hit it hard, but like rolled over to second. And I was so relieved that I put the ball in play. I was like, man, how anticlimactic. Everyone's just like on their feet. I got like 45,000 people watching. And then after that big moment, like a strikeout, that'd just be such a bummer. Like not just for me, but for like everybody. And that's why I was like, oh man, it's stressful. Luckily my first at bat that day, I hit a triple. So I already was like, okay, I've got my extra base hit for the day, but still was so stressful. So I wouldn't want to relive that day again just because of the stress. My most embarrassing day was probably like my second or third game with the Bananas, because they had the idea, why don't you do a coaching tutorial on how to hit, mic'd up for the whole stadium in a real at bat? And I'm like, yo, first of all, have you ever tried to hit before? Second of all, have you ever tried to hit while talking to a stadium, hearing your voice echo back at you like a half second later? So I tried, and, you know, did my best. I don't even remember what I said. I don't want to remember what I said. I think I blocked it from my memory, but I walked up to home plate, like saying something about, you know, how you get into your stance, get athletic, something stupid. And I think I rolled over on the first pitch, which I was actually relieved on. It was like, I got me out of my misery. I didn't have to keep talking my way through an 0-2 situation where, you know, it just wasn't good at all. And then I put the ball in play, you know, and the mics, I'm mic'd up. Like the mic is right here and I'm hitting. Right. And I put the ball in play and it's like, like as I'm running for the whole stadium, as I'm running to first base, I'm like, cut the mics, guys. Like, this is ridiculous. That was my low for the year. I would not want to relive that.
Whose initial idea was that before it got to you? Who thought of that?
Jesse.
Has he played baseball?
Yeah, he was pretty dang good. He was a two-way, mostly a pitcher. I don't know. I think in his mind it was like, what if he hits a home run? Yeah.
Well, that makes
that sense. Clip you could put anywhere. Guy just gives a coaching video at the plate and proceeds to leave the yard. You know, like that would be sick.
That'd be a lot cooler to hear you run around the bases like, instead of like,
yeah, that would have been a lot cooler.
That's a tough ask for somebody right there.
That was, yeah. Well, after that, at least for the rest of the year, I was like, well, it's not going to be worse than that, whatever they ask me to do. Yeah, sure. I'll dance. Yeah, I'll dance on the plate. Why not?
Yeah, that's hilarious.
We need to get the audio bite from that at bat and make it people's ringtone.
Oh, no. Oh, boy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
That's good. How many of you players come up with, like, ideas, like big ideas like that?
A lot of us will come up with ideas. We'll have meetings specifically for coming up with ideas, and players will and staff will just kind of throw ideas around until something sticks. So a lot of the ideas are the players. That one was not mine though, I'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So a bit more of a serious question, because like, I just have no clue how you guys can do it, because like my ADHD, just watching, I'm just like, how in the world do you focus? How do you play? You literally do the hardest thing in all of sports and you entertain at the same time. And then you have some dude maybe in a kilt, like throwing fuzz. And it's just like, how do you handle all that?
Yeah, it's tough, man. Like, it's really hard to hit in banana ball. A really good example of that was them playing Clemson. Like, the Bananas played Clemson a couple weeks ago, or like a month ago. And everyone's like, oh, Clemson's like the best in college baseball. You know, you're expecting those guys to absolutely roll a bunch of like washed up guys like us on the Bananas. Mm-hmm. Nah, it wasn't even close. It was like a blowout. Like, Bananas won by a lot. So, that's, I get, really, it is so hard. If you're not used to it, it's like impossible to hit. It feels like they're throwing way harder than they are. All the pitchers know you because they see you over and over and over again. And so they'll never throw you the pitch you want to see unless they get really behind in the count. And a lot of the guys just fill the zone up, because if you get to, that's another dynamic that's different in banana ball, is if, you know, there's runners at second and third and the pitcher walks a guy. Now it's not just bases loaded. You have a force out, pitcher walks a guy, the runner on second and third base score. It's the ball four sprint. Mm-hmm. And so when you, I mean, as a hitter, you got to capitalize on that, because, you know, once you get into a three ball count, the pitcher is going to throw you a heater right down the middle, because they have to, because otherwise it drives and runs. So, it's way more of a chess match hitting in banana ball. And simultaneously, you have to juggle the entertainment stuff. Sometimes you just have to focus on the entertainment. Maybe like, you are the main entertainment piece for that at bat, and you got to do a whole lip sync, Hannah Montana thing, walking up to home plate. It's like, okay, you just got to focus on that. No one really cares what you do when you get up to home plate. No one's going to blame you for striking out after doing that. But your other two at bats that day, you got to lock in and figure something out. Because a lot of times, maybe one out of your three at bats is going to be screwed up by something. So you got to capitalize on your normal at-bats, I guess, which is easier said than done. I think, though, as the year progressed, it did get easier to kind of just like silence the noise. I had to just stop trying to entertain at the plate. I was like, you know what? It's entertaining when I hit doubles and homers. So I'm going to focus up and try to, you know, lock in on the baseball side of things. And when I'm in the box, like, I'm in the box. I'm not worrying about entertaining anybody. Walking up there, yeah, I'll entertain. Walking away, yeah, I'll entertain. When I'm in the box, like, everything's turned off. Like, I'm not trying to entertain anybody. I'm just trying to hit the ball.
So, Rack, got time for one more question for you, man. You're walking down a candy aisle at the grocery store, and it's time to get out of there. What are you grabbing out of the aisle before you go?
Out of the candy aisle?
Yep.
Do they have Mexican candy?
Your call, man.
Okay, I'll take, have you ever had a pulparindo?
No. What is that? You gotta elaborate on that.
It's like a tamarind candy with like chili. It's really good. Look it up. Probably don't try it. I don't know if you'd like it, but I love it. It's really good. So if they have that, that's what I'm getting.
I love that, man. Well, hey, dude, it's been great seeing you, man. It's been a pleasure. We got to do this again sometime, but thanks so much for coming on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys. I feel like, again, we could talk for hours. We'll have to do this again sometime soon.
Yeah, sure. You're the man, Rack. Appreciate you.